Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there, and welcome to New Life Live. I am on the air today and really glad to be here with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Dave Stoop. Hi, guys.
Hi, Steve.
How you doing?
Now, if you don't know, if you're new, Jill has written several books, one that's so powerful, Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers, some other, Secrets Women Keep.
And Secrets Young Women Keep.
And Secrets Young Women Keep, which are two totally separate sets of secrets. And then Dr. Dave Stoop, great, great book, Smart Love. And then your latest book, Dave, that's on in all of the airports, what would the latest one
be? Well, there's two of them in the airports, Forgiving What You'll Never Forget, and the other one is Change Your Thoughts, Change Your Life.
Change Your Thoughts, Change Your Life.
I always love seeing them in the airports.
And you know,
there's my friend. There he is.
Well, you know what I do? I don't shop Lyft. I shop Shift.
Yes.
And if it's on the bottom shelf, I move it on up.
Then we take a selfie.
My dad does that with my books in the church bookstore.
I think one of the, there are two really dumb sayings that are often quoted. One is, no man is an island. I've never heard something so not true. How many men are absolutely islands?
Or act like they are.
Oh, it's just so true. And then the other one is that we need to forgive and forget. And I love your title that
Forgive and Remember.
Is forgive what you'll never forget. Well, it's not a book to help you forget it. It's to help you deal with it, resolve it. But, man, we don't want to ever forget that somebody has been hurtful or what they've done, because we don't want to set ourselves up to be hurt again by that person.
We don't want to be naive.
Yeah.
To me, forgiveness is a willingness to never bring it up again.
Yeah.
You know, that's what, to me, I'm not going to hold it against you. I'm not going to bring it up. But I'm not going to ever forget that this is what happened in our relationship.
Right. Well, I'm going to learn from it so that I can be wise in how I proceed, right?
I give up the right to bring it up.
Yeah. And I got to tell you, this is one of those phenomenal things that we've seen over the years. When you don't forgive something, you hold a grudge, it's so weird. Sometimes you end up doing the very thing you're so upset that the other person did. So you got to be really, really careful. Well, let's go to the phones. Let's start off here on this segment with a phone call. Judy from Knoxville, Tennessee, WRJZ is the station. Hi, Judy. How are you?
I'm good.
What's happening in your life today?
Too good. I'm going to ask a question about a situation that I'm trying to deal with. My son is paraplegic, and I went to Nashville with him. He had to go to Vanderbilt for surgery, debridement, and so he had to have blood transfusion. And since I had taken him to California for stem cell surgery, he got addicted to oxycodone. So he was taking his medicine, crushing it up, shooting it up his IV line. And I went out to get the nurse. I said, what are you doing? And I said, you need to fix it. He threw food everywhere. And I said, you need to come in here. And he said, what's wrong? I said, I'm not saying anything. So she went in there and cleaned it all up. But anyway, he got sent back to his facility after the surgery. And then he went out one day. He had been out before, though, and got drugs, and I had given him money, and he had come in, and he overdosed, and they sent him to the hospital. They put him on a ventilator, and he did it.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. And you didn't finish there, Judy, but what has happened with your son? You said they put him on a ventilator?
I can't hear you very well. I don't have my hearing aid for one thing, but can you speak up?
Yeah, what happened with your son?
Okay, then he got drugs. He came by here, and I said, you need some money. He said, oh, no, I want my bank card. I'm good. So I gave him. So I just said, here, go ahead and get your hamburger. And I was always giving him. Anyway, he left. Well, he gave me a hug. Bye, Mom. I'll see you later. Then when he went back to the facility, he died. He gave himself another dose and overdosed again, and they didn't save him this time.
Well, when you buy street drugs, you're often getting fentanyl as a way to cut the heroin, and that's deadly. And that's
what
a
they
shame.
Said
that
was
what the investigator called me, and she said it was heroin and fentanyl.
Yeah,
why
yeah.
Would somebody not do that because they surely know that they could get into stuff like that.
Well, when you buy stuff on the street, you don't know what it is. And so that's the sad thing. And I'm so sorry that this has happened.
Mm. Now, it's tragic.
Your son is one of the 70,000 that died from an overdose. We have an epidemic of it, and we have a crisis with it. And you're paying the ultimate price.
Yeah.
For that crisis, and we hurt for you.
Now, is there something that we could help you with? Is there a question that you want us to answer for you?
Well, I can't get to the people that knew him at my church, and let's say, or my family. They say because he was paraplegic, he's going to have another surgery. He told me, he said, "Mom, I'm tired. I just don't want to go through all this again." And so I felt like they were saying he's better off all the time, and they were saying that it's a blessing. He's in a better place. He can walk now. But that's not the point.
No,
I miss him, and I love him, and I just don't think that they should talk to me like that. I just think I should have a chance to grieve, to
be sad.
You know, I talk about this all the time, about the uncaring Christians, and now you've been hurt by them, and I am so sorry.
They don't know what to say, and so they're trying to say something comforting, but that's way down the road. You're not ready to hear that yet. This has just happened. You just need people to be sad with you or to let you be sad.
But what you need
this is tragic.
What you need to understand, Judy, he didn't commit suicide.
No.
He accidentally overdosed because the fentanyl is so potent that even to touch it sometimes is enough to send somebody into an overdose.
Yeah.
And so he had no chance, and the paramedics had no chance to revive him.
And we grieve with you because what happened with him has happened with so many other folks. And sometimes, you know, you turn for help and you expect the people to know the risks when they prescribe something and to warn, and they don't. And looking back, of course, that was not something that he was he ever should have been prescribed, because, you know, the research shows that there's not a lot of help that comes for chronic pain from any of those. And we just hurt for you. You sound like you're very alone. And so I'm concerned, because you need people around you. You need folks.
Caring people.
To care for you and with you. And so do you have any place, any people that wouldn't be so cruel and say hurtful things? Any place that's helpful?
People in my class, but they don't understand. They're not close friends. They're just people I go to church with.
A group, a grief group.
There's a grief group usually in bigger churches. They'll usually have a grief group there.
Mm-hmm.
And that really could be a great place for you to heal. I'm going to send you Healing is a Choice, and I think that will help. But you're going to need to connect with folks, and don't let the uncaring, hurtful folks prevent you from connecting with some people that wouldn't be so uncaring.
And Judy, you can't grieve alone.
No.
You've got to have somebody that understands and is going to just be compassionate.
Right.
So many things. Like, my husband wanted to go to one of your NFC things, and so many things coming up, and now my life seems to be, I guess, on hold, because I don't know if I'll ever get over it.
You don't get over it, but you get through it.
Things won't be the same.
Yeah.
But they don't have to be this painful. And when you grieve, you're not letting, you know, him go. You're just letting that pain go. Mm-hmm. And I'm so sorry that this has happened.
Yeah.
And here's what I want to say after hearing your story. You didn't know these things.
Right.
And other people didn't help you. And you did the best that you could.
To be a loving mother, yeah.
You must not hold yourself responsible for things that you didn't know how to deal with, and nobody was standing there telling you how to deal with it. And for the center where he was, just the hospital, the way they discharged him, maybe, you know, there could have been other things. And it's just sad the way the whole thing was handled. And now your only hope is to experience this strange gift that God gives us. And it is the gift of grief, where you truly can experience a day without this intense pain.
And Judy, one of the things helps, Judy, is to create a memory center in your home, where you gather together some of the things that remind you of him, the good things, any rewards or pictures or things like that, and create a center that honors him, and it keeps the memory alive. And that's one of the things when you lose a child, you fear that his memory is going to be lost, and you want to do something that keeps the memory alive.
Yeah. Well, I don't want you to hang up. I want us to talk with you off the air here, and really glad that you called and that we could connect. And hopefully this will be the beginning of us getting some help for you beyond just this phone call. I'm going to ask everybody that's listening to pray for you, Judy, and just hope. And I'm going to pray that you have strength and that you will experience what the Holy Spirit wants to do, which is to totally comfort you in this time of pain. And I'm going to pray that for every one of those uncaring folks, that there'll be a wise and caring, loving Christian come along and give you the kind of support that you need. If you need help, it's 1-800-NEW life. Let's go to Paula here. Hi, Paula. You're on with Dr. Jill Hubbard. You're in Dave Stoop and Steve Arterburn here. How are you?
Okay. How are you?
Doing okay.
I know you're okay, so.
Yeah.
You just automatically say that, don't you?
Well, I do when I'm with Dave and
Jill. Well, we're here for you right now.
Yeah. Dave and Jill make me feel okay, whether I am okay or not.
Yeah.
As soon as radio's over, he's okay.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I relapse
right after. The camaraderie and the helpfulness and everything, and the professionalism. I'm calling today about a long-term problem with a daughter-in-law. I have three sons and three daughter-in-laws, and this one comes and brings the three children, ranging from 3 to 7, and they sit right next to her, and they come for dinners and things, and they don't interact with the other kids, and she has been kind of difficult to get to know because of the way she acts, and she isn't outgoing and friendly. There was a disagreement right before Christmas a couple years ago online about what they were going to do for the kids, and she just needs to have control of everything, and you know.
The disagreement was online. Can you explain why it was online? What's that about?
Well, they were working out what they were going to do for gifts for the kids. Sometimes they would draw names and things like that, and they couldn't come to an agreement. And initially, when they were married some over 12 years ago, she would interact and be friendly. But then after she gradually got more isolating and, you know. And so my question is, I'm keeping my relationship with my son, and I got to actually talk to the 13-year-old on the phone over Christmas. And
so what is the question for us, though?
Okay, I'm sorry. Everybody else. The question is, can I do anything? Should I do something as a grandmother to foster a relationship with my grandchildren? And how would I go about that? My son is supportive of me, and, you know, we have a loving relationship when we meet for lunch, and they come, but, you know, what can I do?
What is your husband?
I'm concerned about them because.
Yeah. Okay. Let us help you here, Dave.
What does your son suggest you do? Paula, what does the son that's married to her suggest you do?
When
he
we
doesn't,
talk,
or does he tell you what the problem is?
He just intimates that it's the way she is, and. He tries to go along with it, and
so as she's had children, she's become more and more controlling. It's not something that's necessarily happened in the family. She's maybe fearful and controlling, holds a tight rein on her family, and it sounds like her personality for you is very difficult compared to the others.
She makes no effort to interact except to say thank you for the dinner when she leaves.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's something. Hey, let's celebrate that. Okay. Now, is your husband involved with the family, or is he gone, or what?
He is in the family. Currently, we are right now living separately, though, because of relationship problems, and I've gone to a lot of counseling, and he's going to counseling now, and we've been married 47 years, so... we're working this out in separate dwellings, but staying together.
Okay. So, seems like to me your son is a little bit afraid of his wife. Would you say that might be the case?
I don't know if that's the right word or not. He
I don't either.
Got mad at Christmas because she wouldn't do comment a little bit earlier and came on by himself, and then she came later. So that was the first time that I had seen them really get into it about something.
Okay, so
but
I'm just wondering.
He really has tried to go along with her. I wouldn't say afraid of her. I would say she has him around her little finger, you know, to do everything and be there for her.
Like when you're afraid of someone. So,
okay.
All right. So
we'll
here's the thing.
Back.
Here's the thing. We're going to take a break. But I just really wonder what your husband might be able to step in and do with him. That's one thing. But we're going to give you some help for you, because I know this is so painful to, and the thing is, it is not a good situation for the grandkids. So we're going to help you. Really glad that you called. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, we want to help you. We'll be back after this.
God pulled me out of the gutter of my life that I was living in.
I have done a lot of work over the last 40 years. This is the first time I've ever felt loved.
I've had such a wonderful weekend here. I'm 2,000 miles from my house, and for the first time in a long time, I've felt at home.
And the Lord has set me free from my mother's story about me not being good enough.
The New Life Finding Freedom Workshop is coming to Orange County May 3rd to the 5th.
We're going to talk about forgiveness and codependency. We're going to understand that family of origin, the unhealthy reactions to it. We're going to talk about the cycle of shame and surrender and developing the plan that moves us forward. There'll be 8 teaching sessions and 6 small group sessions.
To register or to learn more about the Finding Freedom Workshop, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
I am living a new life, and I believe that I have the resources and tools to continue that.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man, and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me, and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. New Life. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
All right, we're back. Okay, Jill, you wanted to share.
Paula, you know, one of the things... Okay, you have 3 sons, you have 3 daughter-in-laws, so sounds like the others you're doing okay with. The one thing, being a mother-in-law, that is a difficult position, as you know. You never want to alienate a daughter-in-law. And it's, you know, it's hard when you have sons and they get married. You're no longer in that number one female role with your son, and you hand that over to the daughter-in-law. So now you have to do everything you can to continuously, you know, kind of bite your tongue and build a bridge to this daughter-in-law, no matter how difficult she is. So, you know, it might be with the grandkids that you say, you know, you've got 3 kids. You've got your hands full. I would love to help out by either taking, you know, the kids one at a time to do something, or, you know, coming in and taking care of all of them so you can have some time away. You know, anything like that that says, I want to make your life easier. If you feel like she's really resistant, you know, I think there's a time and a place to say, you know, Have I done anything to offend you or step on your toes? Because I want you to know that would never be my intent. But I know I can get clumsy sometimes. And just, you know, apologize in a sense for anything you may have done that, you know, has caused her discomfort. Because, again, you want to constantly mend that relationship, especially the more tenuous it is.
And I would,
okay,
I would
I've
get...
done that. I've done that. I've tried. Okay. I've made a lot of attempts in that direction, but I haven't really apologized and tried to open up a relationship. There's just there's just been things that it's amazing how difficult it would be to.
Right,
to say that to her and to build a bridge with her, you know.
Start small, and you've got to remember you are the older female, okay? So there's things maybe from her, you know, life with her mom that she's projecting onto you. And a daughter or a daughter-in-law will hear criticism more readily, even when you don't mean it. And depending on her emotional makeup and what she does with things, she could, you know, be internalizing some thoughts and feelings. And so you can't look to her to be the more mature one. You have to be the more mature one.
And I would get coaching in that process from your son
as
to what he thinks would help.
Steve, can I jump in here? This is Larry.
Yeah.
We had a daughter-in-law that was very difficult when my son was first married. She wouldn't come to Christmas. She wouldn't come to Thanksgiving. She didn't know how to handle her family. And Rhonda and I looked at each other and said, what are we going to do? And our answer was, all we can do is love her. That was all we could do, was love her and not respond in kind when she wasn't kind to us.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And
not pray, take it personally,
and not
right?
Not take it personally.
Mm-hmm.
And over a couple of years, she is now like our own daughter.
Mm.
Things changed.
That's wonderful.
Things changed in her life. And so I just want to give you encouragement that things can change. It might be a totally different situation for you, but don't give up and love her till it hurts and then love her some more.
Well, I know that story, Larry, and I know you guys really, I mean, it wasn't winning her over. You just did the right thing, and she responded. I think it's a great encouragement here. I'm going to send you How We Love. I think that's going to be a great book for you. And I just hope and pray that you'll do what Larry, well, all of us are saying, and that is really be the mature one in the crowd or in the room, and you love. You know, that really is it. We try to change. We react when people don't change. We get offended. And really, if there was anybody that could have been offended, it was Jesus, and all he did was love. So thanks for that insight, Larry. While you're here, why don't you talk to us about Club New Life a little bit?
Well, Steve, I get desperate sometimes trying to figure out how to ask people for money, so I've resorted to verse.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I got two separate little pieces of verse. There once was a Club New Life member who joined the club in December. She loved being part of Restoring of Hearts, that in March giving more, she remembered. And then I have Steve and Jill went down the hill, a Club New Life member to fetch, but not did they find 'twas a troubling time, so the ministry had finances to stretch. So Steve and Jill went down the hill, a Club New Life member to find, so many they found that the money abounds, such that whining for help is behind.
Oh!
Wow.
Beautiful.
Okay. Well, there you have it.
So we're getting desperate, folks. We're really getting desperate.
Wow. Would you please make a gift? You're reaching into the depths of your creative soul.
Wow.
It's moved Steve to silence. I've never had that happen before.
Steve, we have a nursery rhyme.
I have never been so moved.
Awestruck.
This is incredible. All right, well, we'll help Larry right after this. You know, Larry, he fell. And
he hit his head recently, yes.
And that released our creativity.
Oh, my gosh, Stevie's bright red.
Oh, my goodness.
He's wheezing. He's
laughing. I knew it was bad. I did not know this could happen.
Call us. Sign up for Club New Life.
please do 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll take a break. We'll come back. And really glad you're with us here today on New Life Live. We transform lives. At least that's what God's using us to do. We'd love for you to be part of that. And you just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and we tell you how you can be a part of transforming other people's lives. We'll be back after this.
On Friday night, we came, we got into an argument, and I sit in the car outside for 2 hours. I knew what the right thing to do was to go.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C. June 28th to the 30th.
You know, I know this stuff, but it's so hard to do. Mm-hmm. I hear it, I read it, and I'm always getting in my own way. I'm always expecting my wife to go first.
Join Steve Arterburn.
We believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy level of their life.
And Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship. And then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
And New Life's group leaders will help you focus on the area that will benefit your marriage most. To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com.
My biggest takeaway was to just get out of my way and go first.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and really glad that you're with us here today on New Life. And we have some great counselors all around the country if you need some help. We have books, resources, if you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And we have, of course, our intensive. We've got Every Man's Battle intensive coming up, and our marriage intimacy intensive, right along with the New Life Weekend, Finding Freedom and Restore. It's all there. You can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll tell you all about it. And we have a website, newlife.com. So we really do want to help you in a lot of ways. Call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Let's go to John. He listens on KKLA right out there in Los Angeles, California. Hi there.
Oh, hi. Good afternoon.
How you doing?
Pretty good. I appreciate you guys taking my call.
Sure.
I'm 37 years old, and in a college communication class, I learned how each of our lives are like a puzzle piece in that we affect all those who we connect to. And my older brother has caused a lot of brokenness in our family because of his rebelliousness and his kind of prideful lifestyle. And he still lives with my parents, and he's not working. And my wife and I have been suspecting that much of the reason for my brother's behavior and even my own flaws could be caused by maybe parenting style that I grew up in, and it was pretty permissive. I'm just wondering if there's something I can do to help bring understanding and awareness to my brother and my father about this.
Well, that'd be pretty tough. And when you think about the permissive parenting style, what do you think about? What does that look like when you were growing up?
My parents my brother and I were raised in a Christian home, and my parents were very loving to us our whole lives. But I think there There were rules, but when we didn't put up, when we didn't follow the rules, there wasn't much of a consequence, I think. And I can see that in both my life and my brother's life. And so I think maybe we were, in a sense, loved without
limits?
Without discipline. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
And you think that's affected you also?
My wife sees it. For example, just some little things, like I don't have good manners, and I'm not very hospitable and considerate sometimes. So I think it's not that my parents didn't try to teach us that, it's just that they didn't
enforce it.
Okay. So let's just talk about one thing real quick about manners, okay? You ready?
Yeah.
You can fix that. Just from a practical standpoint, if a spouse says, you know, I think you might have missed some training in etiquette and manners, there are only about a billion videos online that will help you fix that. So that you move out of saying, boy, my parents never taught this to me, to her watching you take the bull by the horns and become a gentleman.
Well, and even being open to saying, sweetheart, I think you're right. Teach me.
Yeah, right.
I want to learn.
Yeah. What do you think?
Well, I think you're...
Yeah,
you're,
I think that's great.
Okay, go that's ahead, just John. A practical thing. That's not everything. But
well, and I think
you're more laid back than your brother, and your brother tried to get a response from your parents and is still trying to get a response from your parents. That's why you consider him to be rebellious, and you were just kind of laid back and didn't worry about it, and now you still are too laid back and don't worry about it, and your wife is saying get some help, and she could help you, like they said.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, as far as your brother and your parents, I don't know that you're going to be able to have much of an impact there, you know?
Okay.
But I think...
Yeah, that's part of it. I feel like I would like to help and try to bring some understanding, but I don't know what my role is. I don't want to accept my role either.
I think, John, you know, the important piece is that you are recognizing these things now, and no matter how we were parented, once we become an adult, it's our job to fix whatever wasn't mm-hmm. finished or was undone or done to us, right? And we can name, and I think it's good to name what happened, but now it's your job to do it differently. And so I think it would be important for you, and maybe you and your wife, to do some things to continue learning about the impact that your families had on you growing up, the impact for the two of you in your marriage and on your kids or future kids, and to start to do it differently. And as you start to do it differently and learn, then that will also have an impact on your family. They will start to see that some things are different. And down the road, you may be in a better spot to maybe say some things as people notice the difference than coming from a place of just recognizing this and now you're going to run off to fix the family. I think you have to do your own work first. And it's a time of discovery. And it may involve asking some questions of your family. You know, I'm learning some new things. I'm learning about our family. I'm learning about dynamics. And, you know, mom and dad, what do you think about this? And how did you approach this? And, you know, in less of an accusatory way, but more of a curiosity.
Inquisitive.
Yeah.
Yeah. And doing it in front of your brother, he may chime in and it may be helpful. But not
it's kind of a side door approach.
Not in order to help your brother, but to get more information on your own in terms of the family dynamic. And doing that in front of your brother would be maybe helpful, maybe not. Mm-hmm. Who knows?
Well,
but that's not your concern.
Would plant seeds, perhaps.
Yeah.
My suspicion is that you're married, he's living back home, that he's probably jealous of you or maybe intimidated by you. And I would say this. It just seems like your call would be to try to connect with your older brother in some ways maybe you haven't. And if you're saying that your wife notices it's hard for you to connect or you're not necessarily adept at social things, boy, trying to learn those things with a rebellious, difficult brother could teach you some things that, that would benefit you for the rest of your life. So you're not going to try to control him, but if you say, look, I need to love this guy, and it doesn't mean you spend a lot of time with him, but you think about how could I connect and show him that I love him rather than I want to fix him and I want to fix my parents. Totally different approach. Okay, yeah. So really glad that you called, and I sense your desire to help and your humility and willingness mm-hmm. there, and I think it
to
just...
learn.
It bodes well for those family members as you're just trying to do some things differently. We have a lot of people. We suggest a lot of things, and their answer is, that won't work, or I tried that, and all sorts of different things like that. And so I'm really glad that you've got that willing spirit. All right, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It is never too early to reach out and get some help. And, John, I'm going to send you every man's Bible. A lot of men don't read the Bible till they get this one, and they love it. So I'm going to send one of those to you, and I hope it's a great blessing to you. Now let's go to Jane from Dallas, Texas. KWRD is the station she listens to. Hi there, Jane. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. What's happening?
Yes, sir. I've been married to my husband almost 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, I didn't know until after I got married. He lied to me before I met him. He's lied to me for 30 years. He has cheated on me for 18 years. I felt that a lot of those years I had to stay with him because I had to protect my son from his family, from things that have happened in his family to other kids. And so now I've caught him lying again. He's saying he's other certain places, but I know he's other places because I can track him on his phone mm-hmm. or I tracked him on his phone and seen him there, you know, making sure the phone was correct. And I just really, I'm not going to stay with him anymore, so that's not a problem. I'm going to leave him here in a couple weeks. I'm waiting for one more thing, a little more proof. But I want to understand why. I don't understand why he's willing to give up his wife, his son, everything that he has to continue doing this. Mm-hmm. Caught him time mm-hmm. and time again. And I don't understand. I want to have an understanding.
Well, you know, sometimes if you find somebody doing something wrong and there's no consequence and you kind of keep the peace, it's almost like you're training them that it's in some ways okay to do it. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
After all these years, and now that you've kind of trained him that you will not leave if you're lied to, now you're ready to leave. We'll talk about that after this.
Last year, after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
I feel like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I
just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back talking to Jane and 30 years of lying and cheating. And
wow.
Dave, you want to start here and
well,
get in the middle of
it? We were talking during the break, Jane, that he gets away. He's gotten away with it for 30 years. But
yes.
it starts out as a habit that he grew up with. And that it becomes almost an addiction. And
it is an addiction.
It is an addiction. And he continues it. But it's a characterological issue that you haven't solved by any means. And your decision to leave is probably going to wake him up briefly. But he's going to continue this lifestyle probably the rest of his life.
Well, and my guess is he sees it totally separate from the marriage. And probably doesn't why you should see it as a problem
for you. Probably won't even understand why she's leaving.
Right.
Right. I can see that.
Yeah.
I definitely see.
Yeah, it's like the same as going bowling, right?
But you've protected, yeah. you wanted to protect your son from that.
Yes.
And you from his family. So you know that there's family dynamics that have led to that. And
yeah,
kids start lying young age, and they get away with it, and it becomes a deeply rooted habit and an addiction. And that's what your husband's done.
When we do our marriage intensive in June, I would hope that you would have said to him, if there's any hope for us, it's us going to that. And if he goes and he doesn't respond, then you literally can say you did everything you could and knew to do that could turn things around. But I don't, you know, sometimes a man like him, he doesn't think you're serious about leaving until you do. And so I'm hoping that if you do leave, you leave with the door is open if he, not that he feels bad and wants you back, because he'll get lonely.
Right.
But that the door is open if he decides, I am going to get some help and change. Now, it doesn't mean, he says, well, would you move back in if I got counseling? No. You go get help, and then we can talk about, after you've gotten that help and how it's going, we can talk about the future. But absolutely don't be manipulated back. If you've never done anything before, there's a good chance that his first response will kind of be to get you back under his wing kind of thing, get things back under control. So you don't want to respond to it.
We did go to marriage counseling for about a year after caught him with one of his affairs. And we actually did go to a marriage intensive, but it was not one that you guys offered. It was one that someone else offered for a weekend, and he had just come off in an affair, and it did absolutely nothing.
Yeah, well, we do the work. See, it's not just about hearing somebody speak and then you discuss it and all that. You have to work when you come to ours.
Well, and I think every man's battle, you guys, don't you think
needs... Well, that's where he needs to be.
Yeah, he needs to also do every man's battle so that he addresses the sexual addiction part of this,
okay.
Jane.
Yeah.
So I'm going to send you Every Man's Battle, and I'll send you Worthy of Her Trust. But really, that's a great first step for him. As you say to him, you want this thing to continue, you have to go to this workshop. And you're probably going to have to move out before he's ever going to think you're even serious at all.
I don't see it changing.
It changing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Well,
but he's going to go into panic mode, probably, because you're home base.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. I don't know what he'll do. I mean, I don't really care.
Yeah, well, I just would give him one last chance to pull it together. You know, I'm just going to go to our last caller here and don't have a lot of time, but Connie Albuquerque, KNLR. We don't have a lot of time, but I thought I'd just see if I could help you or we could help you in some way. What's going on?
Okay, well, thank you. I have an older sister who has emotional issues, has always had. She's been married 10 times.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, recently, she has she started dating a new guy, and he moved in because he was going to be foreclosed on his house.
Uh-huh.
They have a terribly toxic relationship, and I don't know what to do with her.
Well, all right, so 10 times married, and now the next guy's moving in. The chances of you doing something that might change things, I would think, would be quite slim.
Pretty nil.
Perhaps Dave or Jill know of some type of miraculous move that could be made. I certainly don't.
No, there's nothing that you can do, really, Connie, that's going to change her. She's got a pattern that's deeply set.
Well, she's looking for something, isn't she?
Yeah, and can't find it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would want to know what's going to be different this time?
Dave, I always hate to disagree with you, but it looks like she found it 10 times.
Oh. Like
she was somebody to keep her company. But, man, that may be a world record. I don't know that I've... very few people can outdo Elizabeth Taylor. But anyway, 10
Well, and the
times.
Concern would be, are these men taking advantage of her?
Mm-hmm.
Right,
yeah.
Connie?
Yeah.
You know, if she's just a serial, you know,
maybe she's just
partner.
Taking advantage of them.
Yeah. I don't know what you can do. But if it's really causing her harm, you know, besides emotionally, then you can speak to that. You know, highlighting. You know, you think you're getting this, but this is what's happened. And continually hold up the contrast, you know? You think it's love, but then this happens.
Uh-huh.
I think maybe the best thing that you could do that would provide any kind of help would just be to say, hey, how about joining me for this meeting that I've found where, you know, people go and it might be Love Sex Addicts Anonymous or something. I don't know, but she really needs some help or I would imagine this is just going to continue and continue. It's very
well. Instead of dating people, she just marries them,
and then divorces them.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Glad you called. I'm going to send you a copy of Dave, your book, "Change Your Thoughts, Change Your Life." You think that'd be helpful?
That might be. Yeah, that would be helpful.
Okay, and then her, of course, the book she would write would be Change Your Mate, Change Everything, but that's not helping.
Change Your Mate, Change Your Life.
Yeah, that's not the way to go. So anyway, I'm really glad that you called. Well, we are out of time, and so glad that you joined us. Hope you'll have a great day today. If there's any way that you could help us here, we would be so grateful if you did. You can do that by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. But that's the same number to call if you need some help. That's how and that's why we exist. That's how we feel fulfilled, is helping people to get the help that they need. And, you know, most people have just waited and waited and waited, hoping that maybe a miracle would occur, that, you know, God would step in, do something. But so often we find out God has been waiting for you to do, and you've been waiting for him to do it, and all you got to do is do it. Move, do something, and God will honor that movement. And when you're ready, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's our number. And somebody's there right now. They want to help you, and we can't call for you, but you can call, and it could make all the difference in the world. So many people that support this ministry now, it's not because they went to a workshop, an intensive, or something like that. It's because they went to a counselor. They just called us and said, tell me what to do. But the intensives, well, that's what we are known for, giving you the most help possible in the least amount of time. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you, Jill. Thank you, Dave. Thanks to all that support us. We're going to see you right here next time on New Life Live. Take care.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.